It was musky and damp, and a chill crept in through a steel hatchway at the back of the room, up a small flight of stairs. "What am I?" Nick winced as the pain exploded in his jaw, but fought past it. "What am I doing here?"
"I think you know," said Jan. "You did a stupid thing, brother."
Nick rubbed at his jaw and cleared a wad of phlegm from his throat. He had to think for a second before he was fully caught up on the situation he had just woken up into.
"Dave, I had nothing to do with that."
Jan huffed.
"Really? How much chance do you think there is of that plea being accepted? We were all together in the restaurant, everybody except for Dave and you."
Nick sighed and let his head drop.
"I can't explain it, but it's true."
"Look," said Jan, "I hope there is another explanation. You seemed like an all right guy up to this point, but if you did kill Dave, then you deserve everything you get."
Nick spat on the floor and began laughing. He was already tired of being accused of something he didn't do.
"Am I really being judged by a bank robber?"
Jan smiled.
"Attempted bank robber. I never was any good at it. It's a whole lot different than murder, anyway. I may have been guilty of a lot of things, but you've committed a mortal sin."
Nick hissed.
"Just fuck off, Jan. I can do without your bullshit. I'm innocent."
Jan stood up, his tall frame stretching almost to the low ceilings of the dim cellar.
"Like I said, I hope that's true, brother. Perhaps time will tell."
"I'll be ready and waiting for your apology," said Nick. "I was big enough to give you one when I judged you wrong."
Jan nodded, but didn't say anything. At the stairs leading upwards, he turned back and looked at Renee.
"You coming, brother?"
Renee shook his head.
Jan shrugged. "Fair enough. Come find me when you're done. Wouldn't feel right without you following me around everywhere."
Renee nodded to Jan and then let his gaze fall on Nick. Jan left the room.
"So what the hell do you want?" Nick demanded of Renee. "It's not like you're here for the conversation. You don't even talk."
"Don't talk is not the same as can't talk, Nick."
Nick almost fell off his chair.
"Geez, you can speak. What? Why?"
"People take speech for granted, Nick. It is what separates us from the animals, and yet we treat our words with disinterest. We ignore their power."
Hearing Renee talk was surreal. The man had a softly spoken Nigerian accent.
"I don't get it," said Nick. "You've been able to talk all along, but you haven't. Why?"
"Because more can be learned from listening, my friend. God told this to me."
"God did?"
"Yes. I was once a very bad man, Nick. I was a charlatan, a trickster. I would use my words to fool people into giving me their money. I took people's savings. I took people's lives. And then I went to prison, and my life changed."
"You found God?"
"No, Nick. God found me."
Nick grunted. Religion wasn't his thing, but he played along.
"How did he find you?"
"An old lady came to visit me in prison. I had taken her life savings by pretending to be from the gas board. After checking her home, I convinced her that her boiler was dangerous and that she needed a new one immediately. She handed over her checkbook and I emptied her account. When she came to see me, she asked why I did what I did. I said I did not know. But she told me the reason why. She told me that I was afraid. I was afraid of how hard life could be. So I took the easy way to avoid having to ever be responsible for anything. She told me that deep down I felt worthless and that she felt sorry for me. Then she told me that she forgave me."
Nick sighed. "More fool her." Renee carried on undeterred.
"I asked this lady how she could forgive such a wicked man as I. Her reply was that God had given me great weakness so that I might one day find great strength. She told me to seek him out and find my place. Only then would I stop being afraid. and so I did as the old lady asked. I sought out the Lord. I learned of his ways, read his many teachings. I soon realized that words were precious, and that I must use them no longer if I was to make my penance, if I was to find my great strength.
But why not speak?
Rene smiled at Nick.
For many reasons, my friend. So that I could listen, learn, but mostly as punishment. Punishment for my sins, so that I might learn about suffering and understand it. Only then could I defeat my fears. I decided that the next time I spoke, it must be with a purpose and a desire to do good. Only then could I hope to redeem myself.
You sound crazy, Nick said, like one of those Southern Baptist evangelists in America.
Perhaps. But this is a crazy world we are living in, no? Is it not crazier to be sane, with all that we have seen?
Nick shrugged his shoulders. Philosophy wasn't of great interest to him. So why are you talking to me now? What good can you do me?
I can tell you that I believe you did not kill that man, Dave.
Nick sighed. It was actually a relief to hear that at least one person believed him, even if it was Rene.
Deep down, I do not believe that Jan condemns you either. But he is afraid. He values his place here, and would not want to lose it. He will go along with the group consensus, up to a point.
Why not you? Nick asked, shifting in his seat.
Because my mind is clear. I have sat and observed for many days. While the rest of you have bickered, I have watched. I see a man's intentions better than most, and yours are not of murder.
No, they're not, Nick agreed. But then who is responsible? Everyone was together.
Rene shook his head and then got up off his chair.
I do not know. Whoever it is, they are benefiting from you being blamed, and by Dave being dead.
Nick closed his eyes to think, but found a blank sheet. There's nothing to gain. We're all in the same messed up situation.
Rene smiled at Nick.
You are naive, my friend. There is always power to be gained, and there are always men who wish to take it.
Nick's eyes opened wider.
Shawcross.
Rene nodded thoughtfully. He rolled at a wedding band on his finger that Nick had not noticed before.
Shawcross is a weak man with selfish intentions. I have seen this with my own eyes. Now that the man Dave is gone, and the most popular male of the group is out of the way, he will be able to assume authority easily.
Most popular? You mean me?
Indeed. People respect you, Nick. You have a level head, no? But the thought of you committing murder has damaged the group badly, made them feel lost and insecure. This is the time to establish a permanent hierarchy, while the populace is desperate and weak.
Nick shook his head and cracked his knuckles. I don't see the point. What is there to be in control of?
Rene smiled knowingly.
At the moment, nothing. Later, however, there will be life itself at stake. To be the man who controls who gets food and who doesn't is an envious position. To decide who lives and dies is to be God. The one true Lord does not look kindly on such ambitions. That is why he has told me to help you.
Help me?
Yes. I will remain here with you. Whoever killed Dave will likely prefer you out of the way, too. I will make sure that does not happen.
Nick thought the whole thing ridiculous, but Rene seemed deeply serious. But with all that had happened, it was probably better to be overly cautious than foolhardy.
Okay, Nick finally said. Thank you.
You are a good man, Nick. I hope that is proven.
Me too. But what if it's not?
Rene tilted his head.
Then you and I should get comfortable here, as we may never leave.
Suddenly the door at the top of the stairs opened. Eve came down, holding a plastic tray in front of her.
I brought you some food, she said.
She sounded upset, close to tears. Nick walked over to her.
I didn't do it, Eve. You know me.
She handed him the tray. There was a pint of Coke on it, along with the browning leaves of a salad.
Do I? I thought I did.
Nick put the tray on the floor and looked her dead in the eyes.
Yes, you do, Eve. You know me better than anybody else left on Earth. I didn't do this.
Eve stared down at the floor.
I don't know what to think right now. Dave was a pig, but he didn't deserve to die.
Nick nodded. I agree. Eve turned around and started back up the stairs.
Eve!
He shouted after her, but she ignored him and exited through the door. He listened to the lock turn behind her. He went and sat back down, looked over at Renee.
I guess you really are all I have.
Renee nodded solemnly.
Things change, my friend. You just need to be patient. God will shine his light of truth on those who are guilty.
Nick stared down at the wilting salad on the floor and wrinkled his nose. I just hope the truth comes out before I starve to death.
Chapter 35. It had been almost a week since Dave's death. Anna had dragged the man to the morgue herself. She still couldn't get over the fact that Nick had murdered him. In fact, there was a part of her that didn't believe it at all. He just didn't seem the type. She was a person of logic, however, and the only logic available said that Nick had murdered Dave in cold blood.
You okay, Anna? Mike asked her as they fed the Clydesdale horses. The newborn foal she'd delivered at the start of everything was healthy and doing well. The mother seemed to enjoy nursing.
I'm just thinking, she said. Not about anything important, so never mind.
Mike rubbed his hands together, clearing them of food particles. I'm out of food. Do we have any more nearby? Annalisa nodded. There's one of Shawcross's emergency stashes over there. I've been using it for feed and veterinary drugs. It won't be long until we have to go trekking through the woods to find that greenhouse, though. What we have won't last forever.
Mike nodded.
I'll go see what we have. I'd rather feed Mummy Horse here a little more to keep her strength up.
Good idea. The stash is inside that green bin.
She pointed to a large round receptacle made from plastic. She had helped Shawcross empty it before storing additional supplies in there. There were dozens of similar stashes all over Ripley Heights. Mike went over and pulled the lid off the bin. He reached down inside, but ended up pulling his hand away empty, with a confused look on his face.
Anna?
Anna was already looking at him, so she frowned.
What is it?
You sure this is the stash?
Positive. I used it just yesterday. It was full.
Not anymore, it's not, Mike said.
Come look.
Annalisa hurried over to the bin and looked inside. There was nothing other than a few discarded medical supplies, bandages and a spare feeding bottle for the foal.
What the? This was chock-a-block with stuff yesterday. There were weapons and water bottles.
Mike chewed the inside of his cheek, making his face look lopsided.
So, what then? Did somebody move it?
Annalisa thought about it.
Or perhaps somebody stole it.
Who would be that much of an asshole? Annalisa scratched at her chin and stared down at the empty space where the supplies should have been. I'm not about to start accusing people just yet. It could be anyone. Let's just go tell the others.
Mike sighed. Shawcross is going to flip his lid.
I know. Can't say I blame him if it turns out we have a thief. Mike took Annalisa by her hand and began walking her away from the zoo.
Well, the only person I trust for sure is you.
Annalisa laughed.
You don't know it wasn't me. I could be the thief.
Mike shook his head.
You care too much about other people.
Me? I don't care. People do nothing but disappoint me.
And yet you never stop trying to help. That's why I know it wasn't you. That's why I've fallen in love with you the last couple weeks.
Annalisa stopped and looked at him. She found it difficult to look him in the eye, but she made herself do it anyway.
You love me? Don't be so silly.
I'm not being silly. This last week you and I have barely been apart. I've gotten to know you well. There's no point hiding how I feel about you. Like I said, life's too short.
You don't know me well. None of us are really ourselves with all that's happened.
I think the opposite. I think it takes a situation like this to show who people truly are. All of our bullshit, the vanity, the ego, is stripped away. The only thing left is who we really are, deep down.
Annalisa stared at Mike for a while, trying to find the right words.
Mike, I...
Can't say you love me back.
That's okay, he said. I have time.
Not much, maybe, but a little bit, at least.
Annalisa shook her head and giggled.
You're always so dramatic.
Come on, let's go find Shawcross and give him the bad news.
They headed out of the zoo and found Shawcross over by the cable car station. He had his hands cupped above his eyes and was staring down at the car park below.
What are you doing? Mike asked.
Shawcross spun around and studied them.
They're back, he said grimly. Look.
Annalisa peered down the side of the hill and saw that a few dozen infected people had found their way back to the car park that surrounded the Rainforest Cafe. More were wandering in from the distance.
Ah, shit, Mike said. There's almost 100 of them down there.
Shawcross put a finger to his lips and shushed him.
I'm sure if we keep a low profile, we'll be quite safe. We're prepared to deal with the odd one that finds its way up here. We just have to make sure that we do not attract them in large groups. Being quiet is key.
Annalisa looked further into the distance. The fires that had been burning in the nearby villages for weeks had finally died out. It somehow made things feel even more final, like the candle of civilization had finally blown out. It was a lonely thought.
They must have wandered back from the towns, Annalisa said.
Probably, Shawcross agreed. There's obviously nothing to keep them there, so they've dispersed. A depressing thought indeed.
They're all dead, Mike commented.
Annalisa turned to look at him.
What?
Look, they're all slow and clumsy. None of the fast ones are with them. Where are they?
Annalisa saw that he was right. Perhaps the infection has killed them all. Now all that's left is the dead ones.
It certainly smells like it, said Mike, wrinkling his nose.
So if there are only dead ones left, maybe, eventually, they will die off too?
Perhaps, said Shawcross. But we still need to be careful. The dead are slower than the infected, but they don't give up. I would like to think that we can liberate Ripley Hall at some point, but I think it will be best that we continue to lay low for now. No unnecessary risks. No commotion.
Annalisa nodded. If we're smart, we may just make it through this. Eve came running up from the direction of the amusement park. She was panting by the time she reached them. Shawcross looked at the girl and ran a hand through his slick ginger hair.
Eve, sweetheart, whatever is the matter?
The supplies, she said, gasping. I've checked half a dozen places, and they're all gone.
Gone?
Annalisa exchanged a knowing glance with Mike.
You must be mistaken, Shawcross told Eve.
Eve shook her head.
We have no food.
Actually, Annalisa said, the reason Mike and I have just come from the zoo is that we've discovered supplies missing there, too. I think we might have a thief.
Shawcross's eyes narrowed, and his lips went thin. Get everyone together, he ordered. Now!
It took less than 10 minutes to get everybody together, not including Rene and Nick, who had been locked in the cellar for the last several days.
We have one very serious problem here, people, Shawcross said, standing in front of the basketball midway game that was now being used to store firewood for the approaching months of winter.
The group stared at one another blankly, some of them wondering what was going on, some of them, like Eve and Mike, already knowing.
There is a thief amongst us!
Shawcross almost shouted the word thief.
A dirty scoundrel!
The group was silent, concerned.
Who is it? Shawcross demanded.
More silence.
Own up now, or so help me God!
Well, don't look at me, said Alan.
Michelle folded her arms.
Me either.
Well, somebody is responsible.
Maybe it's the monkey, Cassie said.
Shawcross looked at the girl and cocked his head.
What?
The monkey, she repeated. Maybe it's been raiding our supplies at night, trying to survive.
Makes sense, Jan said, rubbing at his beard.
Annalisa objected. Lily isn't taking our supplies.
How can you be so sure? Shawcross asked.
Well, firstly, because an orangutan would have no need for the weapons and medicines that we stashed along with the food and blankets. She could potentially take things she could eat, but I don't see her taking the lengths of pipe and rope we put in the bins. But that's not the main reason I know it's not her.
Shawcross raised an eyebrow.
I know because I've been leaving food out for her at night, and by morning it's all been gone. She's living somewhere in the woods nearby.
Shawcross went bright red.
You've been giving our supplies to a goddamn monkey?
No, Annalisa said calmly. I've been giving a few supplies to an intelligent primate, a Sumatran orangutan to be precise, one of the very few left alive, even before the world went to shit. She has as much right to survive as the rest of us.
Nonsense! You're a thief!
Hey, Mike shouted. Let's take it down a notch with the witch hunt, yeah? Annalisa is a vet and took an oath to help animals in need.
Actually, vets don't take an oath, Annalisa whispered to him. But thanks.
Furthermore, Mike continued, Annalisa is pretty much the only person who can help any of us if we get sick or injured, so I'd say we'd best be nice to her, or else we're all screwed.
Shawcross folded his arms.
So we should just let her do whatever the hell she likes, regardless of the rest of us?
Hell yes, because, may I remind you, we were all stuck in a kitchen when she found us. Without her, we might still be stuck there, or most likely dead. She risked her life for us on more than one occasion, so how dare you attack her like this?
I don't mind feeding the monkey, said Cassie.
Mike shrugged.
Me either. I couldn't watch it suffer and starve.
She's an ape, Annalisa corrected. But I'm glad you don't mind feeding her, because I would carry on doing it anyway.
I mind, said Michelle. What if we end up starving? It's just an animal. We are people.
Exactly, said Shawcross. We'll be using animals for meat soon enough, so what's the point in feeding them?
Annalisa shook her head. This was pointless. If they were happy letting a rare species die, then why even bother wasting the breath to argue? If that was how they felt, then the world would eventually become a bleak and meaningless landscape, devoid of any beauty. Annalisa would rather die than live in a world like that. She turned around to leave the group, not wanting to discuss it further.
Where the hell do you think you're going?
Shawcross shouted after her.
To find your thief, she said. Then maybe you'll stop blaming an innocent animal. If I find you're behind this, Anna!
You'll what? Mike finished for him. Then he turned around and followed after her. The feeling of having someone on her side, ready to fight for her, was unfamiliar. It warmed her belly. It had been a long time since somebody had supported her like that. She just hoped that Mike wouldn't go down in flames by trying to protect her. She would rather him save his own life than risk it by trying to save hers.
Why am I worrying about life and death? I should listen to Mike and concentrate on living.
So you're really sure that Lily didn't take the supplies? Mike asked her as he caught up with her by the magic carpet carousel.
Yes. She's been taking the scraps I've been leaving her and can probably live off some of the local vegetation too. There's no way she could have carried off all the supplies we left anyway, not in a single night.
No, whoever is responsible for the missing supplies is much more calculating than an orangutan.
You're right.
Whoever is taking the extra food is making a conscious decision to screw the rest of us over. Annalisa went and took a seat on one of the park benches. In front of them was the cable car station. Far off, the sun had begun to dip beneath the horizon. Evening would be upon them soon.
Another night in the dark, with nothing to do but think.
You know what's crazy? Annalisa said.
Mike sat down beside her, put his hand on her knee.
What?
That people scare me more than the undead do.
The undead? Are we actually calling them that now?
May as well call a spade a spade.
Mike chuckled.
I suppose so.
I know what you mean, though. I can't believe that Dave was murdered and now someone is stealing. You'd think that with all that's happened, people would finally want to stick together. Annalisa let out a sigh. Looks like the opposite is happening. Life is still about survival of the fittest, everyone out for themselves. So, who do you think took the supplies? Annalisa chewed her lip and thought about it.
Do I really have any idea? The only person I really trust is the man sitting beside me. Until recently, I may have included Nick in the list of people I could count on, but...
Do you really think that Nick killed Dave? She asked. Mike shrugged. Couldn't have been anybody else. Trust the evidence. Didn't they used to say that on some TV show? Annalisa huffed and tapped her fingers together on her lap.
I don't know. I've forgotten what watching television is like.
She leant back on the bench and felt her spine creak. So, you think Nick did it then?
I guess.
Wouldn't have pegged him as the killing kind before it happened, but I suppose none of us are in any position to trust one another.
Don't you trust me? Annalisa asked, surprised by the fact she was actually hurt by the comment.
Mike blushed. His angular cheeks bloomed with colour.
Of course I trust you. You're the exception.
Annalisa smiled at him. Good. Because one of the only things keeping me sane is knowing that I have you. Mike leant towards her and they kissed. When they broke apart a minute later, the world had gone dark. It took a couple of seconds before Annalisa realized that the shadow was coming from a person standing behind them. Before she could look up and see who it was, something heavy struck her head, and things got darker still. Chapter 36. It was night time when Annalisa opened her eyes again. She had a bizarre feeling of being both inside and outside at the same time. When she realized she was sitting inside a greenhouse, the feeling made sense.
Where is this place?
She lifted her head and winced as a lump throbbed at the back of her skull. She was tied up, bound to a chair by her wrists. Mike was beside her. He was unconscious.
Mike, she whispered. Mike, wake up.
Mike didn't move.
I think he may be asleep a little while longer, said a voice she knew.
Shawcross emerged from the shadows at the back of the greenhouse, wearing a wide smile across his face.
He received quite the blow to the back of his head. Might not wake up at all.
Annalisa spat at him. Just seeing the man made her skin crawl. He was obviously the one behind her current predicament, and it made her furious that he felt he had any right to tie her up.
Shawcross, you fucking weasel! Get me out of this chair, now!
Shawcross grinned even wider. Moonlight glinted off his gappy teeth and greasy hair.
Now, he purred. There's no need for such hostility. I've let you in on my little secret. You should be honoured.
Annalisa looked at him with disgust.
What secret?
Shawcross stretched his arms wide and gestured to his surroundings.
What do you think? I found the greenhouse. There are enough plants in here and crops outside to sustain a small group of us indefinitely.
A small group?
Or when did you find it? After you all turned on me and put that brute Dave in charge. I was going to leave, try to make it on my own someplace, but on my trek through the woods I found this place. Besides, I couldn't leave Ripley Hall to you peasants. I need to be nearby for when it's reopened some day. I am its manager, after all.
Annalisa looked around at the greenhouse interior. There were long shelves 3 tiers high, which brimmed with tomato plants, cucumbers, and a whole host of other fruit and vegetables. She spotted something else, too. Stacked up in the corner of the building was all of the group's missing supplies.
You took the supplies, she said. All the shit you gave me, and it was you?
Shawcross laughed.
Not exactly, but close enough. Like I said, there's enough here for a small group to survive indefinitely. Our current group, however, is slightly too large.
Annalisa's stomach rolled as she absorbed the comment and thought about what he meant.
What are you playing at, Shawcross? She demanded, rocking back and forth. Untie me from this goddamn chair!
Shawcross gazed at her sadly.
I'm afraid I cannot do that, Anna. I'm sorry that things have ended up like this, because I always liked you.
I always thought you were a stuck-up prick.
Shawcross growled.
Well, then I thank you for making this easier for me.
You can't seriously be planning to kill me.
Shawcross slapped a palm against his forehead.
Have you listened to a word I've said? That's exactly what I plan on doing. The whole group of us won't make it through with the food we have. We'll eat ourselves to death in a matter of months. But with a few less mouths to feed, we'll be just fine. Nick is locked up with that imbecile René, and you and Mike are here with me, about to be disposed of. To my knowledge, that is all of the troublemakers dealt with.
Troublemakers?
Shawcross nodded.
Yes, you and Mike have been quite outspoken in your defiance of me. Today it became unfortunately clear that neither of you were going to come around to my way of thinking. You don't respect my authority.
That's because you have none.
Shawcross's lip turned downwards in a scowl.
Don't I?
Just look at the position you're in. Look at what happened to Nick after he attacked me. Look at what happened to Dave. For going up against me!
Shawcross seemed to try and stop himself before he finished the sentence, but it was too late. His scowl turned into a frown, and then a smirk.
Oops! Whatever have I said?
You killed Dave! Annalisa spat.
Of course I didn't. I was with you the whole time.
Then how?
Not for you to worry about, Anna.
You know, it really is such a pity that you couldn't respect my authority. If civilization is over as we know it, then you and I would have made a great match for a repopulation effort.
Annalisa felt revulsion.
I'd rather fuck a pig.
Shawcross scowled at her again. The look on his face became almost inhuman, so full of hate and malice, twisted insecurities. He pointed a finger in her face.
What? You think I'm not good enough for you? You pick a pathetic dog's body like Mike, a man with zero ambition, zero intelligence, zero...
Mike flew out of his chair, ropes hanging loose around his wrists. He tumbled forwards into Shawcross and tackled the man to the ground.
I'm intelligent enough to get the drop on you, you greasy-haired motherfucker, he said as he straddled Shawcross and let fly with his fists.
While this was going on, Annalisa began struggling with her own bonds. The ropes were strong, but the chair was not. As she pulled and wiggled, she felt the joints of the old wooden chair begin to loosen. The armrests began to rotate back and forth.
Just a little bit more.
Mike continued pummeling Shawcross on the floor. Annalisa shouted for his attention.
Mike, come help me!
He looked around and saw her struggling to get free of the chair. He got up off Shawcross and ran over to help her.
One sec, he said, grabbing at the ropes around her arms.
Annalisa twisted her wrists and started to pull. It hurt badly, but she managed to drag her hands out through the knots, inch by inch.
Almost there.
The ropes slipped away and she was free. She held her hands out in front of her and rubbed at her stinging flesh. A layer of skin had been grazed away and had left a red ring around each of her wrists.
Come on, said Mike, grabbing her. Let's get out of here. We need to tell the others about what this piece of shit has done. Then we can all decide what to do with him. I vote for lynching.
That would be too good for him.
Annalisa jumped up from the chair and looked down at Shawcross on the floor. He had rolled onto his side and was looking up at her with hazy eyes that were slowly regaining their focus.
You son of a bitch.
She skipped forward and kicked him in the ribs. The wind exploded out of him with a pained gasp. She kicked him again. When she was done, she turned back to Mike, and the two of them headed for the exit at the rear end of the greenhouse. She had no idea where they were, and hoped it would be easy to find their way back to the park.
I'm too weary to be getting lost in the woods.
As they hurried, Annalisa had a sudden random thought. How did Shawcross have time to drag both me and Mike out here to the woods? And how did he kill Dave while he was with us the whole time? He couldn't have done it alone.
I can't believe this, said Mike. Was he always this much of an asshole, or was it...
Mike stopped mid-sentence. He stumbled back against a rack of root vegetables and placed his hands on his stomach as if he'd had a sudden, agonizing case of cramp. Slowly, Mike turned to face her. A long knife stuck out of his stomach. A stranger stepped out of the shadows. Before Annalisa had time to act, Mike threw himself at the stranger, wrapping both his arms around their waist like a dying octopus. He managed to turn his head and shout one last thing at her.
Run! He screamed. Run!
Chapter 37. Annalisa burst out of the greenhouse's exit and found herself in an open field. Deep woods surrounded it on all sides.
Which way do I go?
Behind her, the sound of a struggle as Mike fought to keep the unknown attacker restrained. It would not be long before he weakened and the man became free to chase after her. There was no choice left but just to pick a direction and get moving.
God, I hope this is the right way.
She shot off across the field as fast as her legs would carry her. Roots and unearthed vegetables tripped her as she fought desperately to stay upright. Several times she stumbled onto her hands and knees, but each time she clambered back to her feet and kept on moving.
Can't let him catch me.
She pierced the tree line of the woods at the edge of the field. Darkness enveloped her completely. The moon battled to get through the leafy canopy and succeeded only with a few thin shafts of light. It was like running with her eyes closed. The only sounds were that of the snapping twigs beneath her boots.
Am I being followed? Is Mike dead?
Annalisa panted and gasped as panic took over her. She realized that the sounds of her heavy breathing would give her away if she did not get it under control. She slowed down to a cautious jog, and as she took each deep breath, she held it for a few seconds before letting it out slowly.
Got to stay calm. Fear will just lead to bad decisions.
Here, pussy, pussy, pussy.
The voice was far off, but still near enough to stoke her panic anew. She didn't recognize the voice, and she hadn't recognized the man back at the greenhouse.
If he's coming after me now, then that must mean...
Annalisa prayed to God that Mike was okay. She prayed because it was the only thing she could think to do.
I have to get out of these woods. If I don't, then it's only a matter of time until he finds me. Who the hell is he? Has there been another survivor amongst us this whole time? Someone only Shawcross knew about?
Annalisa headed off in a random direction, hoping it would lead her towards the park and away from the stranger hunting her. Her eyes adjusted to the dark and the oily blackness became a fuzzy grey. The shapes of the trees gradually made themselves visible and she could dodge between them. But she still had no idea where she was going. She was lost in the woods.
Like Little Red Riding Hood.
Just stop running, girl. I'll be gentle, I promise.
Annalisa jinked around a bush full of nettles and headed for a tight cropping of trees. Her feet collided with several hard objects on the ground. She looked down and saw that they were apples. She'd entered some kind of orchard.
I don't recognize any of this.
Bitch, you're winding me up now. Just stop running. Give it up.
Fuck you.
Annalisa almost shouted it out, but quickly stopped herself. The last thing she wanted to do was give away her position. She ran through a copse of apple trees and headed for a clearing at the end. Her pursuer continued shouting and threatening behind her, but that only made it clear that he did not know where she was.
As long as he's getting frustrated, I still have a chance.
Annalisa broke out of the orchard and entered an area that was much more open. It wasn't a great place to be and lacked any kind of cover. A couple of hundred meters into the clearing, the woods renewed once more. She would have to make it over there before her pursuer made it out into the open and spotted her. She ran, jumping over ruts and dodging dips. It looked like an area that had seen the regular use of vehicles, if the bare patches of mud and wide divots were anything to go by. It was an encouraging sign, as it might mean she'd find a path or dirt road leading back to the park.
Bitch, I'm gonna find you, then I'm gonna party with you.
The voice was getting closer. She might have only seconds before he found the clearing and put eyes on her.
Got to make it back into the trees. He'll be here any second. Got to run faster.
Annalisa felt as if her knees were turning to jelly as she thudded across the hard mud. The tree line was tantalizingly close, and yet she just couldn't seem to make it. Seconds went by. She continued to run. The tree line got closer and closer.
Come out, come out, wherever you are.
Annalisa broke through the tree line just as she heard her attacker's voice echo in the clearing. She had made it with no seconds to spare. Then something moved up ahead of her and she screamed.
Oh no!
Her pursuer heard her cries.
I hear you, bitch! Now you're in big trouble!
Shit, shit, shit!
Annalisa looked forward, trying to see what had startled her. When she looked up at the trees, she realized it was Lily. The orangutan looked down at her and hooted. Then she waved a hand. Bizarrely, Annalisa found herself waving back, but she quickly got moving again, her life in the balance. She was running out of breath. The stitch in her side was enough to drop an elephant. She had to keep going, but she knew she didn't have much more left in the tank.
I'm going to collapse.
Lily swung from the tree branch on which she was perched and leapt to the next tree over. Then she crouched down and stared at Annalisa. Annalisa stared back.
What?
Lily hooted.
You want me to follow?
Lily hooted again and then swung to the next tree. Annalisa followed. As soon as she caught up with Lily, the orangutan swung to the next tree and then the next and the next, sometimes altering direction slightly, but mainly keeping a straight course. Annalisa used the last of her reserves to keep running.
I hope you know where you're going, Lily.
I see you, bitch!
Shouted the stranger behind her.
Time to give it up for Daddy!
Oh, God!
Annalisa let out a scream. Lily continued swinging from tree to tree. She followed the orangutan as fast as she could.
I can't keep going! I can't!
Up ahead, the gap between the trees widened. The moonlight there was brighter.
Please, 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 let this be the park!
She reached the edge of the woods and leapt out into the moonlight. Her legs gave way and she fell, face first, onto the hard, unforgiving ground.
Pavement? This is the park! I made it!
Now you're fucked, sweetheart!
She spun around onto her back, but she didn't have the energy to get up. She was done for. The stranger exited the woods and stood over her. It was too dark to make the man out, even to see his basic details.
Who the hell are you?
She started crawling away on her hands and knees, dragging herself along. She screamed out as loud as she could, pleaded for help, pleaded for the others to come and rescue her.
There's nobody here. They're not going to hear me.
Anna? What's wrong?
Alan was standing over her and giving her a quizzical look. Seeing him gave her the tiny boost needed to scramble to her feet.
Alan, she said. Thank God! You have to help me!
She spun around to face her attacker and saw now that it was a young black man. His left eye was bloody, completely gouged out, but looked to be healing. His clothing was torn and muddy, a grey tracksuit, like the ones Jan and Rene wore, covered in dry blood.
Another prisoner?
Annalisa threw herself into Alan's arms and squeezed him desperately.
He's trying to kill me, Alan! He killed Mike! Shawcross!
Where is Shawcross? Alan asked her calmly.
He's in the greenhouse. He found the zoo's agriculture plot.
Yes, I know, he said. Annalisa pushed him away.
You know?
Alan nodded. Yes, Shawcross showed a handful of us yesterday. Explained the food situation.
What situation?
That too many greedy mouths to feed is going to mean big problems,
said the unknown black man. He had moved to the edge of the tree line and was standing there without any kind of urgency. Annalisa stared at Alan and realized then that the two men already knew each other.
Alan,
she said, swallowing deeply as she asked the question.
Who is this man?
Alan shrugged. Calls himself Dash. Shawcross bumped into him a few days back. He's been staying at the greenhouse this whole time. She shook her head and started backing away.
He's a murderer! He killed Mike!
Alan sighed. I liked Mike, but there's not enough food for all of us. Tough decisions had to be made.
Decisions? Made by who?
By me,
said Shawcross, emerging from the tree line. His face was matted with blood, and one of his eyes was swollen shut. Mike had really done a number on him.
Good. I just wish Mike had had the chance to finish you off.
You're a psychopath, she spat at Shawcross. What gives you the right? Taking it gives me the right. Some of us recognize what the world has become. If the human race is going to survive, some of us need to be pragmatic. Until things are more stable, we can support only the core group. Annalisa took a step backwards as he approached her. She shook her head at him. Core group? What are you talking about? Well, Shawcross grinned, you could say the people that respect my forward thinking are the core group, and the rest of you are disposable. Annalisa went to make a break for it, but Alan grabbed a hold of her. I'm sorry, Anna, he said. I really am. He seemed sorry as well. The jerk. There was no pleasure in Alan's eyes at all. It was obvious that the only reason he was even going along with Shawcross at all was weakness. The guy just wanted to live, and would hitch his wagon to whichever was the strongest horse.
Let me go, Alan!
I can't do that. She shrugged and tried to escape his grasp. When she couldn't, she opted to knee him between the legs.
Take that, you spineless piece of shit.
Alan doubled over in pain, but managed to keep a hold of her as he went down. She still couldn't get away. Dash lunged forward and planted a right hook on her cheek. Her vision spun, and the floor came up to meet her.
You right, Shawcross. She is a feisty bitch.
The next thing Annalisa knew, something descended from the trees and clubbed Dash in the back. He went sprawling forward and landed on his face, unconscious.
What's happening?
Alan screamed and rushed off out of view. Shawcross backed away slowly. Someone had come to her rescue. Lily stood over Annalisa protectively and let out a low, guttural huffing sound. A clear warning. Annalisa lay on her side in shock, unable to move. One of Lily's hands grasped at her shirt and tugged it.
Get up, she was communicating. Get up now.
Annalisa pushed herself up onto her feet and started backing away. Shawcross made a move to grab her, but Lily rose up and hooted aggressively. He backed away. Annalisa took a few unsteady steps before realizing that no one was going to risk following her. Dash was still dazed on the ground, and Alan was nowhere to be seen. She looked around and got her bearings. She was in the zoo, not far from the cable car station. From there, she could make it to the big dog restaurant and find the others.
Can I even trust them? How many of them were in on Shawcross's plan? I might still be done for. But not yet.
Annalisa had no options but to find the others and hope that they would help her. She took off in the direction of the amusement park. She had to make it to the restaurant.
You'll regret this, Shawcross shouted after her. You and your goddamn monkey!
Annalisa gritted her teeth as she made her getaway.
She's an ape, you idiot. For the last time, she's an ape. And she just saved my life.
Chapter 38. Up ahead, the big dog restaurant came into view. The flickering candlelight shining through the single unbarricaded window made it clear that somebody was inside.
Thank God. I hope.
With nobody pursuing her, Annalisa allowed herself to slow down and take it easier on her legs. She felt like she was going to collapse again at any moment. As soon as she knew that she was safe, that was exactly what she was going to do. She hobbled up the steps to the restaurant and approached the open window. Peering in through the gap, she could see only the glare of half a dozen candles. Out of energy and almost out of fight, she pushed herself up onto the ledge and tumbled through the gap and onto the floor. If those inside were hostile, then they would just have to finish her off there and then. There was nothing else she could do but lie there and give in.
Anna? What the bloody hell's happened to you?
It was Eve. She hurried over and helped her up off the floor.
Are you okay?
Annalisa shoved her away.
Are you with them? Are you with Shawcross?
Eve looked confused.
What do you mean?
Shawcross, Alan and...
Some other guy. They killed Mike. They're trying to kill me. Are you with them?
Eve stood there awkwardly, staring at her like she was mad. But Annalisa was not mad. She lashed out and grabbed Eve by the throat, surprised by her own ferocity.
Are you fucking with them?
Eve shook her head, frightened.
No! Hell no! I don't even know what you're talking about! Let me go! We'll sort this out!
Annalisa sighed and let the girl go. Eve went to rush off, but turned back around and smiled at her reassuringly.
You're safe now, Anna. Okay.
Annalisa did not reply. She slumped against the wall and slid to the floor, trying to catch her breath as Eve rushed off into the shadows of the restaurant. Moments later, the girl returned with Cassie and Pauline in tow. Cassie held out a drink to Annalisa, which she took gratefully. She swigged the lemonade down in one gulp and let out a gasp.
Thanks. I needed that.
So what the flippin' hell is going on? Pauline asked her.
Shawcross is a fucking psychopath, that's what. He kidnapped me and Mike. Now Mike is dead.
Pauline put a hand to her mouth.
No.
Annalisa got back to her feet, her body feeling renewed after only a short rest.
Yes, and he'll be coming after me any minute, so I need to find out who is on his side and who is still fucking sane.
Well, I had nothing to do with it, Anna, said Eve.
Pauline shook her head.
Me either.
They all looked at Cassie.
What? She said. I didn't know either. I swear.
Okay, Annalisa said. So the only people I don't know about are Michelle and Jan. Where are they?
Blank faces. Eve shrugged.
I don't know. I thought Michelle was with Alan.
I think it's safe to say that Michelle will be on whichever side Alan is, Pauline explained. They've been sticking together for weeks. He's become a bit like a father to her. Annalisa sighed.
Great. That makes us outnumbered, then. Especially if Jan is with them.
I reckon he is, said Eve.
He's been pretty close to Shawcross these last few days. Think he sees him as the boss.
Annalisa slumped back against the wall and felt some of her newfound energy slip away.
Great. Last thing we need is having to go up against a hardened criminal the size of the Hulk.
She scratched the tip of her nose and suddenly thought of something.
That reminds me. This new guy with Shawcross, he was wearing prison clothing.
Cassie whimpered.
Was he black?
Annalisa nodded.
Yeah, so what?
Wait, do you know him?
Cassie nodded and became ghostly white against the shadows.
No way, said Eve. It can't be Dash, can it?
Who the hell is Dash?
A degenerate we picked up along with Jan and Renee. We thought he was out of the picture.
Well, now he's back in the picture, and he seems pretty psychotic.
Cassie whimpered again.
You okay? Annalisa asked her.
Cassie nodded.
Dash just makes me nervous.
Eve and Pauline placed an arm around the girl and tried to comfort her. Annalisa got the impression there were things they weren't telling her, but there was no time to demand answers at the moment.
We need to arm up, she said. Let's get whatever we can. But we can't fight them off, said Cassie. There are more of them than us, and they're men.
Annalisa spun around and scowled at Cassie.
Mike was a man. These are just little boys trying to have all the toys. They may have the advantage, but that doesn't mean I'm going to lie down and get fucked. They want to recreate Lord of the Flies, then let's make sure it's one of them that ends up being Piggy.
I don't know what that means, said Cassie.
Never mind. Let's just get ready.
I'll go and get some things to defend ourselves with, said Eve, rushing off into the dark corners of the restaurant.
Okay, make sure mine is something long and sharp. I need something to shove up Shawcross's arse.
Pauline stepped up to Annalisa and looked her dead in the eye. The woman seemed anxious, but resolute at the same time.
You think we have any chance of holding them off on our own?
Annalisa thought for a second and then gave Pauline a smile. An idea had just brewed in her head.
We're not going to be doing it on our own. We have reinforcements.
What do you mean?
We're going to free Nick and Renee. Nick didn't kill Dave. It was Shawcross. He admitted it to me. He must have had Dash do it.
I knew it, said Pauline. I knew Nick wouldn't do something like that. Let's get him out of that damn cellar.
Annalisa nodded and marched across the restaurant. There was a door at the back of the bar which opened to the cellar staircase. She grabbed the brass handle and twisted. It was stuck. Locked.
Bollocks! Does anybody know how to get this door open?
Shawcross has the key, Cassie said. It was in the door when we arrived.
Annalisa booted the door in its centre, and then again next to its hinges. It wasn't going to give. There were no weak points.
We'll never get it open in time, said Pauline. They'll be here.
Annalisa leant up against the door and sighed. If they had any chance at all of fighting back against Shawcross's bloodthirsty cabal, they needed Nick. The other women trusted him. They would crumble without him. She banged her fists against the door.
Nick!
She banged harder.
Nick! We need to get you out of there!
Chapter 39 Nick opened his eyes and sat up on the floor. He was hot and threw his itchy woolen blanket to one side. Rene was already up. The man seemed hardly to ever sleep. He was standing over Nick patiently, as if he had been waiting for him to awake.
What's going on? Nick asked. Was that banging I just heard?
Rene nodded and motioned to the door at the top of the stairs. The man had gone back to not speaking after their brief conversation, but he was surprisingly effective at communicating without words.
Nick! Can you hear me?
Someone was shouting from inside the restaurant. It sounded like Annalisa. He jumped to his feet and hurried to the foot of the stairs.
Anna? Is that you? What is it? What's wrong? It's Shawcross. He's lost the plot. Mike is dead and there's some thug called Dash running around doing Shawcross's dirty work. They set you up over Dave's murder.
Nick wondered if he'd just heard her correctly.
Did you say Dash? Yes, Dash. As in the third prisoner you picked up with Jan and Renee.
Nick looked around at Renee, who was staring back at him with wide eyes. He obviously did not believe it either. There was no way Dash could be alive. Not after the fall Nick had seen him take. Nick climbed up the stairs and stood outside the door.
Okay, open up and I'll come help you.
We can't. Shawcross has the key.
Nick grunted and punched his fist against the concrete wall of the cellar. The pain woke him up a little.
Damn it!
Renee came forward and placed a gentle hand on his shoulder.
Shawcross does not have the only key, my friend.
From within the pocket of his tracksuit, Renee pulled out a long brass key that was attached to several others via a Ripley Heights keyring.
Perhaps he should have checked beneath the bar too, no?
Nick stared at Renee with disbelief.
You mean you could have let me out of here at any time?
Renee tilted his head and wore a sagely expression.
Escaping your cell would not have restored the others' trust in you. Escaping would have just made things worse for you, my friend. I had this key only for emergencies, such as this.
Nick shook his head, still not understanding, but glad anyway to have a way out. He took the key from Renee and slotted it into the lock, giving it a solid twist. The lock clicked and the handle released.
God, I can't wait to get some fresh air.
Annalisa wore a puzzled expression when he opened the door to meet her.
What? She said. How did you?
It's not important. He moved past her so that he was fully away from the stuffy cellar which had been his prison for the past several days. Up ahead, he spotted Eve and immediately headed towards her.
Eve, he said, I've missed you.